Well, this morning, we are finishing up our summer in the Psalms. Throughout the entire summer, we have been working through the Psalms. Some of you took the challenge and read all 150 Psalms over a 10-week period. And for those of you that did that, I trust that it was a really significant experience. While some were reading all 150, the rest of us were, every Sunday, working through a psalm together. And so 10 different psalms we've been able to dive deeper in. Those psalms have helped us pray. They've helped us sing. They've helped us write our own psalms. And this morning we conclude our summer series, and we're going to be looking at Psalm 100. It's a short psalm. It's on the cover of your bulletin. But listen to the words of this 5-verse psalm. Shout to the joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. We do not know who wrote this psalm. It doesn't tell us. We do, however, know why it was written. The purpose of this psalm starts at the very beginning. It says, a psalm for giving grateful praise. And if you read the first 2 verses, it says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Now, if I channel my inner 7-year-old, I am forced at this moment to say, why? Why should I? Why should I shout for joy? Why should I worship? Well, the initial response is simply this. The Bible tells you to. And there's something to be said about obedience to his word. But let's linger a bit longer with our inner 7-year-old. Why should we? Why should we shout for joy to the Lord? Why should we worship? Well, it says that this is a song for giving grateful praise. So it begs a follow-up question. What are you thankful for? So if I were to ask this question, don't answer out loud yet. Hey, what are you thankful for this morning? I don't know what's in your brain. Chances are some of us, what are we thankful for? Well, thankful for health, thankful for family and friends, thankful for the way that God has provided for us, all good things worth being thankful for. But I have to stop and wonder, how many of us, when asked the question, what are you thankful for, went here? Not that those other things aren't worth being thankful for, but when asked, what are you grateful for, did your heart and mind go here? We just took communion, literally minutes ago. At a couple minutes after taking communion, when we asked, what are you thankful for, was this already forgotten? One of my favorite prayers is written by a man by the name of John Bailey, wrote it in the early part of the 20th century, and part of the prayer says this, and let us not, when this morning prayer is said, spend the rest of the day in forgetfulness of you. And let us not, when this morning prayer is said, spend the rest of the day in forgetfulness of you. And let us not, when communion is done, spend the rest of the service in forgetfulness of you. I don't know about you, but I can be rather forgetful. It's easy for me to be focused in this room, and as soon as you go out those doors, it's like this never happened. And when you get into the car to go home, oh my goodness, this is suddenly a distant memory. I know this to be true, at least in my context, because every Tuesday morning, our staff gathers together for our staff meeting. Part of what we do in our staff meeting is look back on the previous Sunday. We're professional Christians, and we'll sit there around the table and go, wait a second, what happened on Sunday? And let us not, when this morning prayer is said, spend the rest of the day, the rest of the week, in forgetfulness of you. Oftentimes, when I pray at the table, the language that I use is, and may the taste of this meal linger on our lips and our minds and our hearts so that we are not quick to forget. If someone were to ask us as the body of Christ, what are you grateful for? For all that he did on and through the cross, through his crucifixion and resurrection, if that's all we were thankful for, we would have more than enough reason to lift a shout of joy to the Lord. But if you need a moment to remember what took place at the cross and is represented in this meal, listen to the words of Michael Card from his book, A Violent Grace. He said, he was born to die so that I could be born to new life. He suffered temptation so that I could experience victory. He was betrayed so that I might know his faithfulness. He was arrested and bound so I could be rescued from bondage. He stood trial alone so that I might have an advocate. He was wounded so I could be healed. He endured mockery so I could know dignity and joy. He was condemned so the truth could set me free. He was crowned with thorns so I might crown him with praise. He was nailed to the cross so I might escape judgment. He was stretched out between thieves so I could know the reach of his love. He suffered thirst so I can drink living water. He said, it is finished, so I could begin my walk of faith. He was God's lamb slain, so I could claim his sacrifice as my own. He was forsaken by the Father, so I would never be rejected. He chose the shame of weakness, so I could know the hope of glory. He shed his blood, so I could be white as snow. His heart was pierced, so mine could be made whole. He died and was buried, so the grave could not hold me. He rose again, so I might experience eternal life. He is known by his scars, so I will take up my cross and follow him. That's what took place at the cross. What are you thankful for this morning? When we pause to remember, do this in remembrance of me. When we pause to remember, and we begin to acknowledge that we have been set free, we have been forgiven, we know love, we have hope, we have joy, we have purpose, we have peace. When we take time to remember, we have everything we need to begin to sing a song of joyful and grateful praise. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. We're going to pause in the psalm for a moment because it seems tremendously appropriate to stay right here a little bit longer to remember and sing a psalm of grateful praise. The psalm continues, so we're going to get over to verse 3, and it says, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. God created us. We are his. And when he created humanity, he looked upon his creation. He said, it is good. Hebrew word for good is tov, T-O-V. It's one of our favorite Hebrew words. The word tov, usually translated good, can just as easily be translated as beautiful and functional. And so when God created us, he said, look at what I have created. It is tov. It is good, it is beautiful, and is functioning just the way I designed it to function. And the way that God created us to function is in relationship with him, which takes us to one of our other favorite Hebrew words, yada. Yada, Y-A-D-A, is translated to know, but it's not talking about to know more information. It's relational. So in the book of Genesis, when it says that Adam knew Eve, it was not saying that Adam knew Eve's biography. It's more of a biology thing at that point. To say yada is to know relationally and very intimately. And so in Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, what you have is God saying, I don't want your sacrifices. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. I want you to yada me, because I created you to yada. I created you to be an intimate relationship with me. But because we are a willful, bordering on stupid people, we constantly turn away from God, thus breaking that yada and destroying that which was tov and going out on our own. Which takes us to the second half of the verse where it says, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. A couple things I know about sheep. They make wool. They eat grass and help protect houses from fire danger. They wander. Sheep are prone to wander. I love that line in the hymn, Come Thou Fount. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the one I love. Oh, we are sheep. We are prone to go our own direction. And when we do, we break that yada. And that which was created to be tov, good, beautiful, functional, becomes increasingly dysfunctional and ugly. But we are his sheep, the people of his pasture. And as Jesus describes the Father, he will describe the Father as not just a shepherd, but he describes God as the good shepherd. And he says that that good shepherd will go to great lengths to make sure that every one of his sheep is returned to the pen. Every one of his sheep are restored relationally, yada, so that the relationship can be tov once again. He goes to great lengths. He will leave the 99 sheep to go after you, the one. And if you're trying to think of the great lengths that Yahweh goes to make sure that yada and tov remain part of our reality, when you think of the great lengths that Yahweh goes to make sure that nothing would ever need to permanently come between you and his great love for you, when you think of what God would do to make sure that yada is part of your relational reality so that you can live into the life he created you to live into, you need to look no further than the broken body and spilled blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus goes to great lengths to take you where you need to be and bring you home. Again, I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up, because it would be foolish of us to not linger in this reality a bit longer, to consider the great lengths Yahweh goes to so that yada and tov remain part of our story. Which takes us then to the last two verses of this psalm. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Anyone that has been around me for any length of time is familiar with how I tend to begin my prayers. More times than not, when I pray, The first words out of my mouth are, Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. It's taken directly out of Psalm 100. I begin my prayers that way for a couple of reasons. For starters, I'm a sheep. I get distracted, and I can be very forgetful. And unless I develop habits, I can spend my day in forgetfulness of him. And because I can be ridiculously egocentric, oftentimes I think my prayers are about me. And so I have developed the habit of beginning most of my prayers, Lord, you are good, and your mercy or your love endures forever, and for that I give you thanks. Because instantly in that moment, my attention is taken off of me and onto who God is and what God does. And it sets the foundation for the remainder of my prayer. My prayer might be a prayer filled with anger and frustration and lament. Remember, over 50% of the Psalms are laments. But even in those moments, and I've got plenty of them, where my prayers are filled with frustration and anger and lamenting and grief, when I start, Lord, you are good, and your mercy, your love endures forever. And even if I'm not feeling it at this moment because I'm filled with grief and frustration and anger and confusion, I am choosing to trust that you are indeed good and your mercy endures forever. Sometimes my prayers are filled with requests. But when I begin my prayer with, Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever, it puts me in the frame of mind to acknowledge that even if you answer my requests in a way that I don't like, I am choosing to believe that you are good and your mercy and your love endures forever, so your answer is better. And please give me the patience and wisdom to understand that. Other times my prayers are filled with praise. And when I begin by going, Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. Your love endures forever, and for that I give you thanks. And then it just keeps going. I'm thanking him over and over and over again. I choose to begin my prayers that way because I need to develop a habit of being intentional about remembering. What do you do to remember? And let us not, when this morning prayer is done, spend the remainder of the day in forgetfulness of you. What do you do to remember? It's my habit. What's yours? A couple suggestions. If you do not have a habit of some kind that helps you remember, I have prayer triggers all over the place. I've been wearing a wristband on my wrist since the summer between my sophomore and junior year in high school. When they break, I replace them. And when I fiddle with these, I pray for specific people. If you've ever been in a wedding I've done, whenever we talk about the rings, I always tell the couple, every time you fiddle with these, take a moment to pray for your spouse. I knew someone once who realized, God, I need to be more humble. And so every time he touched a doorknob, he prayed for humility. Praying for humility and praying for patience, beware. Maybe what you could do for one week, set your alarm on your phone, on your watch, in your home. And every time the alarm goes off, stop for a moment and begin your prayer, Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. And see what happens. Take Psalm 100. It's on your bulletin cover. Take it home. I suggest you put it in one of two places. Your bathroom mirror or your dashboard. If you want to get real risky, put it on your TV. You'll notice something on your mirror. It's always good to remember, oh, look at me in the gloriousness that, oh yeah, God. And read over that psalm every time you see it. Another idea for you. Take a 3x5 card. Take the 3x5 card first thing in the morning. Write on it Psalm 100, the whole thing. Something happens when you write. It helps implant it into your head and your heart a little bit more. And then what you do, you take it put in your pocket. Every time you notice that piece of paper in your pocket, pull it out, read it. An amazing thing will happen. It's only 5 verses long. By the end of the day, you'll notice that piece of paper and you won't need to bring it out anymore because this will become your prayer. What will you do this week to remember? On the back of your bulletin, it's there almost every Sunday morning. We call them our roundtable questions. We encourage you, when you sit down at the tables, or when you get into the car with your family, or when you stop for lunch somewhere, ask these of one another. They help. They help you not spend the remainder of your day in forgetfulness of Him. What will you do to remember this week? Because if you choose to be intentional about remembering, suddenly you will be filled with more and more reasons to sing a song of grateful praise. Do me a favor, close your eyes. We're going to sing in just a moment. But with your eyes closed, listen to these words one more time. Psalm 100, a psalm for giving grateful praise. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good. And His mercy, His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.